doing. No. We get so much other foolishness. Sometimes when I give you too much commentary on these blooming sinners that died, let them go to hell, and there ain't no rest in peace. Their soul is in anguish and anxiety for an eternity. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel. Let's move on from that. Those of you that don't like that kind of thing, you headed for the same predicament unless you love this word. That is what the word of God teaches and preaches, and that is what every true preacher will always preach. Now let's look at this very closely. Paul had just declared how he inwardly responded to his outward difficulties. Now, in a threefold series, he pointed out the conflict that he'd endured. All came about in order that he might gain victory. He uses the armor of righteousness. Now, it was the armor of light. And we see that in Romans 6:13 and Romans 13:12. It was the armor of God, composed of the girdle of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the gospel shoes of peace, and the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit. Yeah, I'm quoting from Ephesians 6, 10 through 17, where it talks about the wardrobe of every Christian. And these weapons could repel satanic attacks, either from the right side or the left side. When I was experiencing, even last night in my sleep, the buffeting processes of Satan, I had to get up and literally get the word of God and put it next to my chest, because the demons saw that. The demons would not come where the Bible is. They would not come where the word of God is. See, you know, it tickles me. I thought about it. I says Michael Jackson was trying to get something so he could go to sleep, right? Well, I couldn't get to sleep because the demons were buffeting me. What did I do? I got up after I fought off an evil blow of the enemy, got the Bible, put it next to my chest, and went right to sleep. Did you really think that Michael Jackson needs to spend that lying doctor, pay him $150,000 a year so he could sleep? This proves that he had no God in his life. Simple deduction, right, Jeeves? Simple deduction. The weapons on the right hand and the offensive weapons, whereas those on the left are defensive. We have offensive and defensive weapons that we have found in the Word of God, if we believe. If we don't believe, we don't have that. He had an approved ministry by honor and dishonor, literally through glory and dishonor. And man, this is a beautiful thing, because see, God's ministry is not put forth by what we think is honor and success. There will be times when men praised his ministry, and there were occasions when men misrepresented all of Paul's efforts. Same thing here. Some men like what I do one week, and next week, I knew he was like that. You didn't know nothing unless I told you. A lot of people think they know PJ. You don't know me. You only know what I tell you. You better get ready to know yourself. See, only person that knows me through and through is me and Jesus. And I'm going to tell you this right now, and I got to say this with all honor and love and appreciation for the Holy Spirit. I would never feign Christianity. There are too many things out here in this world, me living in Los Angeles, California, that I could be doing to make me some money and to make my life in a physical way far more happier than it is, than sitting in the Lucy Coleman studio talking to you well over an hour to try to help you out. And I'll probably never see most of you for the rest of my life. And this is totally nonprofit, and nobody's paying me for it. And I should be working on getting my college transcripts and everything ready for next semester. Oh, my friends, in either situation, when men praised him or hated him, Paul remained adamant in his determination not to give offense. I have to do the same thing. You have to do the same thing. How many of you give up and just throw your hands up? Said, I'm tired of these jigaboos. Yeah, I know you. In any house, there are vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor. We read about that in 2 Timothy 2:20. That's a biblical theme. There are honorable persons and dishonorable persons. You can choose between the two which one you know or which one you know that you are. Unfortunately, men falsely identified Paul as a vessel of dishonor because he disagreed with him, just like men falsely identify me. Got Noel Jones people over there and Ken Olmert's people, Charles Blake's people, and Clarence McClendon's people. I'm just mentioning folk preachers here in Los Angeles. See me as a vessel of dishonor. He knew, nevertheless, that he possessed the treasure of God within his earthen body. You can read 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. Paul desired the honor of God more than the praise of men. And you know, this is wonderful when you think about it. He endured through the evil report and a good report. In other words, some spoke truth about him and others spoke lies, bore false witness on him. Although it would be easy to react carnally to such situations that he was confronted with, well, the blessed apostle did not react that way. Christ loved and forgave those who had crucified him. And Paul loved those who assassinated his character. I ain't bragging, but I love them. And a lot of people say, oh, no, come on, John, you can't really. Those people destroyed you, destroyed a church ministry that you was building, ripped off a radio ministry from you continuously, blaspheme your name and put out scuttlebug on your life. That don't mean, please, man, I've read the Bible. Now, let's go on down to verses 8b through 10 here as we continue to move through this. This is just a wonderful part of Scripture. I don't know whether you've ever read this. Verses 8 through 10, wonderful verses. By honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers, yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying, and behold, we live, as chastened and yet not killed, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, and yet possessing all things. My goodness, the mark of true ministry, MacArthur says, that his genuine character is paradoxical. And it is. And here Paul gave a series of paradoxes regarding services to Christ. He starts off talking about as deceivers. Paul's opponents at Corinth had accused him of being an imposter and a false apostle. You have to understand that this is still going on today. In John chapter 7, verse 12, we see the Apostle John writing about this, and he says, and there was much complaining amongst people concerning him, that is, concerning Jesus. Some said he is good, and others, no. On the contrary, he deceives the people. So you see, we have this constant honor, dishonor, evil, good report thing coming out. Throughout his life, Paul fought the innuendo and false charges. Now that encourages me because I've had to fight that all of my ministerial life. Innuendo, you know, I'm supposed to be gay. I'm gay because of the way I love men. Well, John is a closeted gay. No, I'm not. I love dudes. I love these guys. They need to be loved. Women need to be loved. I wish I could love the women like I love the men. But most husbands would walk around and want to shoot me and stuff. And my God, I got to say this. There's such a lack of understanding what true Christian love is that most of the people that's in the so-called Christian church has never experienced it. And I just got to be real. Well, what do you mean, brother? What the hell do you think I mean? Excuse my French. But hey. In this section of verses 8b through 10, what do we see here? Paul admitted that he had appeared to be one thing, but in reality, he was just the opposite. And I can understand it fully and succinctly in my life. Do you understand it in yours? Some of you young men sitting out there listening to me want to be successful in ministry. Listen to me. Listen to PJ. You got to love other men. You've got to love them. You can't be playing with their minds, toying with their pocketbooks, highfalutinizing with their wives. You've got to love these men. Love them. Every man that comes to my fellowship, he knows that I love them. And they know. I say, come here, man, let me hug you. I don't want you. I said, shut up. I remember there was a brother. He used to come to fellowship, and he used to see me hugging the other brothers, and he told me, I don't need you to hug me like that. I said, okay. That was when he was feigning Christianity. Now, something has happened in his life. Last time I saw that brother, he grabbed me and said, man, don't be playing me. Come here. And he grabbed me and hugged me and would not let me go. And he said, man, let me feel you, man. And the dude said, I love this. See, he learned what that was. I said, I don't want you like that. I want to love you. And the man is always calling me, trying to hang out with me. All the time. You got an hour? You got 2 hours? See, Paul recognized that some reported false data about him completely contrary to the real facts. And others were constantly offending him. All right? But he resolved not to offend them in any way. Oh, man, I ain't thinking about these people. Let them say whatever it is they want to say. He isolated 7 of these false reports, and they seem to fall into 3 major areas. The first group of the 2 contrasts deals with reputation. In other words, his critics claim that Paul and his associates were deceivers, but actually they were true witnesses. See, the English word planet is based upon a Greek word for deceivers, planeoi. Planoi. They claimed that Paul was a wandering imposter. In actuality, the critics were the real deceivers. See, when someone criticizes not only me, let's bring it home. When they criticize you and you're telling the truth, they're really the deceivers. Basically, in their heart, they know it. See, the false teachers also charged Paul was unknown in Palestine and a real leader to Christianity. And some Jewish leaders said that they had never heard of him. You can see that in Acts chapter 28, verses 21 through 22. When Paul tried to make himself known in his letters, some of the believers said, I never heard of this guy. Well, the apostle knew, however, that he was well known to God and to the spiritually minded individuals. You can see that in John chapter 10, verse 14, when Jesus speaks about that, and in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. You know when you're real, and the real knows when you're real too. He definitely was known by the Corinthian church. You can see that in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 6. They knew who he was. Now, the second group of these 3 contrasts deals with his health. Since Paul was at the point of death and many times, many had reported that his life and ministry were finished. In other words, dying. Now, this is interesting when I read this commentary on this, because every time something happened to me in ministry and it looked like I was falling off the wagon and falling into hard times, people said, oh, he's done. John is done with. He's over with. He's finished. He's kerplunk. He's finished. And then the next thing you know, there he is going again. One of my greatest things is that I often thought, and I wanted to do it, was to get my own server so that I could put my own video clips up on my own website. And then somebody, another Christian brother, introduced me to YouTube. Basically, I had to get the equipment to do it with, but it's absolutely free to put my stuff up on YouTube. All people need is a computer and they can go there. Search engines and everything are going. Until God stops that, I'll be rolling. Until God stops the internet, I'm up and rolling. So you guys should be downloading all those YouTube clips as much as possible. Go to my YouTube page and then go to my favorites. You will see that I have one of my students that put a lot of my clips up on the internet. Download as many of those things as you possibly can and have them in your library to keep, record all the sermons, watch them. Because when times get hard, you won't be able to hear preaching and teaching. And you need to spread this information to all of your friends and neighbors. And if you still want me to come out, you got 10 or more people that would like me to do a weekend of Bible teaching, let me know. When I get some money, when I get back into school, I'll fly there free of charge, get me a little motel room. I'll come by wherever you want me to do, and I'll teach you God's word and let you know that I'm a real preacher in person. And please, don't try to give me a big honorarium. I don't need all that. If you want to pay for the plane ticket, fine. God bless you. If not, I'll try to scrape up the money to come out and give you a helping hand. That's the way Paul did it. Now, some of you are going to scandalize my name. Like one guy went up to Northern California to do that, and some of his friends accused me of trying to rip him off as a member. How am I going to pastor him? I'm in L.A., and he's way up in Manteca. False accusations. And every time I hugged him, his wife was present. See what I mean? False accusations. But it was just those times that Paul was beginning a new project which increased his vitality. He says, when they said that I'm dying, we was living. That's what he said. We earlier admitted that the deterioration of his body simply caused his spirit to become stronger. That's why when I get ill and my heart problem boost up, I just ask the Lord to give me strength so I can get in that office and do a 1 hour and 20 minute webcast right now, and haven't stopped and still feel like I want to go another 20 hours. But let me hurry up. Increasing age and physical weakness did not slow him down. Neither will it slow me down. Many viewed Paul's hardships as a discipline of God for secret sins. Oh, my goodness, when the bus hit me, you should have heard what they were saying all over Los Angeles. See, he sinned, and God caught up with him because he was speaking against the bishops. No, when I won that case against the bus company, that money went to buy me more equipment. So the way I look at it is this way. God had a bus hit me so that after years, I would win the court thing, and with that money, I bought some equipment so that I could reach people all around the country. Praise God for letting a tonnage of a bus hit me and knock me 40 feet, break two ribs, puncture my lungs. And I told the paramedic, don't you dare rip off this riding suit that I had on when I was on my bike. The helmet is crushed. I recently threw it out because I got a new riding helmet. All that to the praise of God's glory. Oh, my friends. Many viewed Paul's hardships as the discipline of God. His critics were like Job's confronters. Paul knew that his tribulation would not destroy him, but rather he would learn more qualities of spiritual sonship through his chastening. And I love that verse in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 3 through 11, when it talks about the chastening of the Lord. I don't know why it happened. If I sin, buffet me for my sins, whatever the cause. All praises be to Jehovah in heaven. That's what it's all about. Some charged him to be sorrowful, but the seriousness of his spiritual determination did not remove his inner spirit from rejoicing. His inner spirit was constantly rejoicing. I've seen so many Christians that are depressed and going through all that mess. Why don't these fools open up their minds and rejoice? The third group of two contrasts deals with finances. Now let's watch this and pay very close with this. His critics depreciated Paul's manual labor and simple lifestyle. In other words, they claimed that his lack of money revealed a lack of divine blessings upon his life. Oh, isn't that what the word faith teachers say about me? Well, see, he ain't got nothing because he ain't got no faith. Why you want to follow him? In the first place, ain't nobody got no business following me in the first place. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Don't be following John Coleman. Because when you come by my house for worship and stuff like that, you're going to see I've got plenty of nothing, and nothing, sure enough, has got plenty of me. They claimed that his lack of money revealed a lack of divine blessing upon his life. Although he was poor financially, he was still able to make many rich spiritually. That's the key. I'm not looking for a mansion. Got a nice little car. That's cool because when you're living in Southern California, you do like to ride in style. And I don't think that there's nothing wrong with that. So my convertible Lexus, that's about 7 years old, is a cool little rolling machine for me. And I really appreciate that. But please, the Lord can take that and put me on a bus or put me in a wheelchair. I'd still praise his name. Christ said that the church at Smyrna was poor, yet rich, and that the church at Laodicea was rich, yet poor. You can read that in Revelations 2, 8 through 11, and Revelation 3, 14 through 19. See, my friend, spiritual wealth is infinitely more valuable than material riches. I would rather be rich in Jesus than rich in this world's goods. I've never been into money. Peter and John would not give any money to the lame beggar, but such as they have, they gave unto him both spiritual as well as physical wholeness. This is what we desire and need in our lives. Paul, at the end of his life, possessed only a cloak and some books and a few friends. And so what we have to do is we have to answer the question, what will we possess? Oh, you have to go to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 9 through 13 to read that. A cloak, in other words, a jacket to keep himself warm in jail, and a few of his books, and a few close friends, because most of his other friends had abandoned him. But Paul was the heir of the world. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 21 through 23. Wonderful, wonderful verse. And Galatians chapter 4, verse 7. Paul wrote, he says, "There is that maketh himself rich, yet hath nothing. And there is that maketh himself poor, yet hath great riches." Quoting from Proverbs 13 and 7. The critics were in the first group, but Paul was in the second. I like that. And you know what, my friends? I'm going to tell you, that's what I love about the Word of God. The Word of God is plain and will just give it to you the way it is. All right, that's good. I think that we're going to stop right there because we've gone far enough. Far enough. Once we look at this, giving no offense, approving of himself, the behavior in the world that the apostle had, spiritual responses to the world through conflict, through misinterpretation. And the next time we begin with our time in Bible study, we're going to start with 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 11 through 2 Corinthians 7:1, where we will start with separation, to be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use. What does that imply? I want to thank you for coming to my website. I want to thank you for praying for me. I'm praying for many of you out there that don't have a Bible church to attend. Please let me become your internet Bible pastor. I'm not going to ask you for any money. I'm going to ask you to do one thing, to be faithful to the Word of God. That's what it's all about, my friends. What a joy. I love you guys. I really do. I literally love you. And I thank God that he's placed me in this ministry. What a joy. Don't worry about anything. Live what you've just heard. Practice biblical transparency, as Paul writes about here in 2 Corinthians. And I'll be praying for you. As a matter of fact, let me pray for you right now. Father in heaven, touch the lives of those that listen to this webcast today. Touch their lives, dear precious Christ. Oh, Jesus, forgive them. Forgive me of my sin. Forgive me. Help me to repent of my bent. Help me in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. God bless. Whatever you do, stay in the Word.